Welcome to episode 319 of the Talk Nintendo podcast.
Wrong.
Just
keep going. I'm just messing with you. No, the show has started. The show has started.
Yes.
Keep going.
I'm your host, Casey Gibson, the noted Braves fan, Casey Gibson. And here with me today is Papa Perry, as we're going to call him from now on.
Hello.
How you doing, Papa Perry?
By the way, I believe we should just, like, you shouldn't even say who you actually are. We should just go, like, just you're Casey. And you can, like,
I'm actually
act
Casey,
like him.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and then you could say all the things about the Braves, about how Casey loves the Braves, you know?
Noted Braves fan, yep. Casey Gibson. Well, that's exactly who I am. And you, so Papa Perry, tell me how you're doing.
I'm doing good. And I think you might be forgetting someone.
Oh, well, we've got the baby. We can't forget the baby. You got to see the baby.
The baby.
We got Balix. We got Triple B, the most beautiful boy in Boston. Baby Balix. Baby boy Balix.
This is take one for Bayonetta 4.
Hello, I'm Bayonetta. I'm a witch. And this is Bayonetta 4. Welcome. Saints preserve us.
That's about $4,000 of work right there.
$3,900.
Give me them smack.
Baby for Bayo 4. Baby for Bayo 4. Hashtag.
Baby Netta.
Baby Netta.
Baby Netta.
Baby Netta. Let's go. Let's go. Dab.
Oh, man. Baby Netta is the best thing I've ever heard.
Baby Netta.
By the way, that's wonderful. How's it going, Balix?
It's good. I'm actually glad I have the Propane Maniacs, longest yeah. running podcast with one episode.
So, in my defense, I can't figure out the stupid hosting. It's really hard. It's really hard.
Just get SoundCloud. It's fine.
We should just get SoundCloud.
Is that
SoundCloud's
really?
SoundCloud's great.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all you gotta
just
do?
To tell everyone, this actually isn't Casey. This is Josh Robinson.
Hi. I don't have a catchphrase still. And I think last time we talked about me having a nickname, and I still don't have one of those either. So,
didn't we come up with something? I don't know.
You're definitely not the J-Man. He's Chumley.
Oh, no, yeah, I don't want to go with that. No.
No, he
is. Now that I'm objecting,
hold on.
It's probably.
He that's not his nickname. That's just his title, like, of the podcast. Like, I'm the old man. Balix is.
I'm Big Hoss. I am pre weight loss Big Hoss, to be clear. I'm early seasons Big Hoss.
Yeah, because weight loss Big Hoss is Corey.
Yeah.
And Casey is absolutely Rick. And so Josh is Chumley. It's just perfect. And that picture that I have of Josh's face on Chumley is one of the funniest things that's ever been done. And I love it so much.
So I take back what I said about you having never made fun of me. We're going to go with that picture as...
it's not making fun of you. Look, we did it with everyone.
I know.
My picture is just as bad as yours.
Yeah.
Clear.
It's amazing.
I'm the most visible one in that header, too.
Yeah, and like those, the yours are the most realistic, both of yours, on that picture. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Like, they look like real people, but... anyway,
but no, I wanted to I made that little podcast joke, but what I was actually saying was I got a propane gas grill this week.
Oh yeah,
which is
heck
why
yeah.
I was glad this was the setup. I haven't cooked on it yet. I've been watching YouTube videos because I've never grilled in my life.
Okay, there we go. You said cooked, and I was about to correct you and say you haven't grilled, but I'm glad
Yeah. I mean, I cook plenty, but using a grill. So I bought a propane tank for the first time, and then it was sort of hooking it up and then worried that the propane tank is going to explode because I've never grilled, but I have played Grand Theft Auto. And then I sort of watched a bunch of YouTube videos about sort of cooking on propane. So it's like preheat for 20 minutes, you know, on high. People like to do like oil with paper towel on just before you throw meat on. But that
nice.
Seems optional.
Yeah. Yeah. That's optional.
And then, yeah. So I'll,
what's the difference between
some
an electric washer
An electric dryer and a propane dryer. Well, the propane dryer is a little more expensive.
Only at first.
Josh and I were talking about how funny it is that Hank purposely prompts the question to the salesman just to interrupt him and tell him about the propane.
Only at first.
And it's funny, when you sent that to me, I was so proud because you sent me the picture, Balix, of your new propane grill. I literally was grilling two gigantic steaks on my grill. And I was like, that's my boy right there.
This really makes me happy because I think you... Now, Perry, didn't you say that you had never grilled with propane before?
No. I said I did. I just said that I preferred the taste of charcoal.
But you've come around to my side.
I've come around to that propane is the better cooking method. It is the better grilling method.
There we go.
It just had the pluses outweigh the negatives. I think it's Hank Hill just says it the best. It's just the even heat, it's clean. Yeah, it literally, you know what I mean? Everything that Hank says is just true. And then it's so easy to manage, and it doesn't stink. Although I have noticed one thing that I am curious about you folks about the propane. Mm-hmm. This is so interesting because I've never heard this before, but I've noticed that when I turn the propane on and I start the grill up and it's the heat is going, and you know, you can kind of smell that. You can kind of smell it a little bit. Just a little bit.
I love that smell.
Yes. And I've noticed though, that like clears out. It resets my nasal. So when I walk back inside to my house, I can smell like my house. You know, like when you go nose blind or whatever they call
100%.
And I'm like, what the heck? I can smell like, I was like, my house smells like an old house. It's not a bad thing, but it's like, it's so weird. Like, is this what people smell when they walk in? Not that it's bad. It's just housey. I never smell it anymore.
But that 100% happens to me too.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah. I love that little initial smell of the propane when it's first catching fire there. And then that smell goes away.
Yes.
Almost immediately. But you're right. When you walk back in the house, all of a sudden it's like, oh, right. House smell.
I can smell stuff.
Because you're right. You are nose blind to your own home smell.
It's very interesting. Anyway, so have fun with that, Alex.
Thank you.
You can smell your new house for the first time again.
So now, for clarity, did you say that you have not yet used it yet?
Correct. I mean, I got it Sunday. So it was a wedding gift for my aunt and uncle. Mm-hmm. And then on Monday, I went to Home Depot, got a cover, just a regular 4-pack of utensils, brush, mm-hmm. Pincers, spatula, whatever.
Yep.
And then I tested it out more yesterday. And then I'm thinking this weekend I'll probably try to grill up some Beyonds. Well, the now wife is vegan, which is actually good because I will like eventually cook meat on it, but vegan meat is very good practice for grilling because there's no raw juices or anything.
It doesn't matter if you mess it up.
Good.
Yeah.
No.
Anything that tastes good.
Faux foo.
Okay, so you guys are obviously like the biggest King of the Hill fans ever. Me and Casey, big fans, but to a lesser extent, of course. But what I'll say is, I know that a lot of your Mike Judge love extends to King of the Hill, but I recently sort of touched two other pieces of Mike Judge media, and he has about a 70% batting average, but when he hits, he really hits.
Yeah.
I watched Idiocracy for the first time since being a kid the other week.
Still realistic.
Holds up, but still really good. A lot of funny.
Super funny. Yeah.
Yep. And then I know
definitely not the same vibe. Like as King of the Hill, like it's definitely half the vibe. Like
no,
it has,
you
some
know,
of
you
it,
know, he yes. wrote it. You know, yes. he wrote it.
Yes.
Yes.
I like seeing that movie. I like seeing the Mike Judge stuff because you see the influence that he had on King of the Hill, but then you see all the other stuff that's put it in there. But yes, anyway, continue. Sorry.
And then the other one is, and I know there's also mixed feelings on Beavis and Butthead, but I recommend if you have Paramount Plus, check out the new series of Beavis and Butthead, because compared to the old show, where it can be like a little more abstract at times, not necessarily the best, a little cruder, the new show's a lot sharper. Yeah. Like it more represents modern Mike Judge sensibilities. And I think if you don't like old Beavis and Butthead, you might like this one a lot more. Cause I was laughing a lot at the movie and the first episode of the new series that I watched yesterday.
From what I've seen of the movie, that little snippet that goes around a lot, it's super funny. And so I wouldn't mind. It's just, I don't know. It's just like, I am so put
watching
off by
anything,
like,
watching anything, so, you got to convince yourself.
I'm so put off by Beavis and Butthead, to be honest. Like, I just, like, it's so, like, I don't know. Like, I just don't get it. But, like, I did get, like, that last thing. And I do like that Hank Hill character, though. I think he's hilarious.
The principal?
Tom Anderson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the neighbor.
I mean, he literally is Hank Hill. And I was like, that's, that when I forgot who posted that in Discord or whatever that was. Maybe that was you. Josh that posted that on our propane, but it was like, oh wow, that's crazy. So
yeah, so I feel like Beavis and Butthead is I feel like it's always been pretty good in small doses. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, the, you know, Beavis and Butthead Do America, it was pretty funny, but I feel like, you know, like, I don't know, I feel like a full movie of those guys and their antics is a little much. And I saw the more recent movie too, and like, it has its moments, but I do feel like it just doesn't,
it's missing Greg.
Yeah so Greg Daniels is really, I mean, don't misunderstand me, Mike Judge is genius,
he's brilliant,
but Greg Daniels is like, he's the reason that, like, it's he's the reason those characters developed to be like real people, like,
yeah,
and not to get, we won't go into diatribe here, but yeah, he's integral. Like, King of the Hill would not be what it is without Greg. So
let's say Mike Judge is, let's say, a good dose of the comedy, and Greg Daniels is the reason why, like, you will never stop thinking about Peggy Hill as a person.
Well, so Greg, I mean, Greg is he's a genius comedic writer too, but he just has a knack for knowing, like, what makes people tick and what about people's mannerisms are funny and how they interact with each other. It's just, I mean, he developed, you know, the American version of The Office. So, like, he clearly he's got an eye for that kind of stuff.
And like I said, my newest, I couldn't believe I haven't realized that Paul Lieberstein was one of the writers for King of the Hill, and who's Toby from The Office, who's the writer for The Office as well. And he helped write, he and Greg Daniels and Mike Judge wrote, in my opinion, one of the best episodes of television, like, ever written, which is Pretty Dresses of King of the Hill, where, you know, why do you keep calling me Bill? It truly, there are things in there in King of the Hill that I don't think would ever be like Leanne, Luann's mom, that, like, comes back and she's off of, like, you know, she's getting off out of prison, and she's been sober for 300 some days, whatever. And that whole thing of, like, she's in, like, an abusive relationship and stuff. Like, I was just thinking about, like, how, like, that, and also, like, Bill's breakdown. And they handle it like it's actually serious and also hilarious at the same time.
Yeah.
But the way they do it, just wonderful. Just amazing. But
you ain't my sister no more.
Yeah, you ain't my sister no more. Yeah. And that's what's her face? That's a Pamela Adlon. That's the voice of Bobby doing Leanne. And I'm like, I can't believe I always forget, because she does she's so amazing.
She's good in everything. I've never seen a bad role with her.
It's true. One of her finest being Spinelli from Recess.
Yeah.
Anyway, 16 minutes in.
Let's get to we got a short show.
We do got a short show. We have lots of quick bites. Who wants to start it off?
Let's start with the game we've both been playing.
Sounds good.
Atari Mania.
Atari Mania. This is a cool concept for a game.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And
and let's move on from there. No,
no,
I'm just kidding.
So I got this code like a month ago.
Yeah,
believe it or not, I got it way early, which is very random for like Atari Mania of all games. Like you'll see it with like, let's say an Atlas game from time to time, like some RPGs, they'll get codes to you early.
I love early codes. Although sometimes I don't, because then I forget about the game when it's time to talk about it. But anyway.
Yep. Which is, I'm actually glad I was able to give you a code, because then you could sort of refresh my memory.
Yeah, that was nice.
But sort of the point of Atari Mania is that it is Atari WarioWare. That's sort of what it's trying to be. Yeah. Micro games. And
almost NES remix. You know what I mean?
Definitely a fusion of the two.
Yeah.
That's sort of the aim. And then where it sort of is different is, one, it's mixing Atari games together. So you'll get like Millipede or Centipede. I forget which one they use here. I think I know those are both games. Anyways, so you might get that, but then you might get Outlaw, and then you might get like other Atari games mixed in too. And Pong, there's a lot of Pong ones, and you'll see like two or I think three is the most I've seen mixed together for micro games. And this in itself is an excellent idea, even without having, let's say, nostalgia for Atari per se. I still love any dose of WarioWare I can get. But what I think is the cardinal rule of WarioWare is that outside of, let's say, little story dressing to provide context for what the game is, you should not be waiting long to play micro games. That is the most important thing a WarioWare game can do right. And every single WarioWare-like game I've played has done this horribly. Like, they'll add too much of a story, or like there'll be this or that or the other thing, but there's too much junk between the actual WarioWare micro games, and this has it in spades. And I'll get to the micro games themselves more in a second. Like there's like a cute little self-referential story. You're the caretaker of the Atari Vault, which is the storehouse of classic Atari games in history. Then a dead pixel appears, and I'm reading from the Steam page, and soon enough, all heck breaks loose. And so there's like it's like sort of a corruption sort of game premise, but applied to
Atari
games.
Yeah, they have the old dead pixel, you know,
yeah,
trope of it's a dead pixel because these are classic Atari games, you know, and it's a black hole.
Yeah. And you're sort of wandering around this sort of top down, very small Zelda world. That's just the office. It's very tiny. Mm-hmm. Going from level to level. There's little secrets, little mini games. If you sort of play around with the world, you unlock items that allow you to get to the next set of like,
it's a Metroidvania, if you will.
It kind of, well, I guess so.
It's a micro. It's a microvania.
Yeah.
Yes, I just coined that term.
There are a few problems with this. One is that there's way too much story crap before you get into more WarioWare. Like, way too much. It takes too long to get to a set of 10 games, and it takes too long to get to the next set of 10 games. The second problem is that the load times are insane for this tiny little game.
Hmm.
Like, I'm waiting, 10, 15, 20 seconds? Like, if I fail one of these WarioWare challenges, which I do all the time, because to get to the micro games, run across or don't get hit or something.
I mean, it literally is, just to explain it a little deeper, it's like all these little games are like as simple as like your little guy and you're moving. It's like, don't get hit by this bar that's falling down from the sky and you're just trying to avoid it. Just exactly like a WarioWare game, but yeah.
Yep. But my problem is, I think this could be in part because of the premise for the crossovers, but also because of, let's say, subpar design in some areas. The readability of these games, the instantaneous readability, is not there.
Some of them, for sure, yeah.
Oh, some of them, to be sure. Like, a lot of, let's say, 7 out of 10 of them, I'll know what to do right away. 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10. After that point, I lose it because I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I get hit right away. There's like three different games being referenced.
I think that happens in WarioWare sometimes until you get to, you know, it's like, what am I supposed to? Oh, okay. I mean, that does happen a little bit in WarioWare.
This is less but yes, polished this is, for sure.
Oh yeah. But I'm waiting
talk.
For you
Go
to.
Ahead.
Well, no, I went, I mean, all this you're saying is like, yeah, I think all these you've said up to this point are a little forgivable, but there's the one unforgivable thing that made me just turn it off.
Is it the button response times?
Absolutely. It's just the game ends up being unplayable. I mean, seriously, that's what I would call it, because like when you're playing a Pong, you know, Arkanoid game, and you can't even hit the ball because the response time on your moving the paddle over is like a millisecond, is like a second. It's terrible. And it was just like, nope. Like, I was having fun with this game a lot. Like, I think that all the other stuff is fine. Like, the story, like, I agree with Alex, too much of it, but like, whatever, like, get me to the fun. Yeah, load times, sure. But once you put in bullcrap, controls that is totally unfair and feels awful, it's like, ugh, I just, this needs to be updated so that I can play it.
And you know, you want to hear what the worst thing is? It was so bad when I first got the game that I actually contacted PR and I'm like, the game is like pretty cool, like, but I can't play it because the response times are way
yep.
off. And she said they're working on an update. And since they did that update, it is better, but it's not where it needs to be, like, at
oh,
all.
Man.
Like,
and I guess you played on Steam or Switch?
No, I played Switch. I got
okay.
a Switch code.
So it's been updated on Switch?
Yeah.
No, I was really hoping that it hadn't been updated yet.
Well, did you get... Well, hopefully they updated again, but 1.0.2 is like the...
I don't have my Switch with me.
But anyways,
I'll check
it. It was worse before, and it's still not great, but I found it more playable. Maybe it could be a weird, like, because you got a code early. I don't know if you actually did. Maybe you downloaded the game, but you still need to hit update. Like,
sure.
That could be a weird
sure.
thing there.
Yeah.
But I still agree with you that it is not where it needs to be in playability.
Well, and again, it's like the other thing that's really weird about the game is that it has the vibe. It's cool. Like the logo, awesome. The name, awesome. I mean, the concept is awesome too. I love the idea.
Great ideas.
But like the game feels, it feels very amateurish. It just feels like it does not feel.
The writing's, I don't write fiction for a living, but like the writing that's on display here is like, it's not particularly sharp, it's not particularly funny, there's not much personality given to any of the characters I've seen. And I'll say for the record, I'm like 20% in. I've played maybe 30 or 40 of the micro games, seen some of the side stuff, played for maybe an hour total, and it's like boring text after text after text. And I'm like, but it's, you have these Atari characters interacting with each other, these dead pixels, which give like a cool, like Pac-Man 256 type vibe to it.
Yeah.
But it's like my guess is Atari, or whatever Atari is now, contracted this developer, Illogica Studios, who on Steam, they only have one game. I think they've worked on mobile stuff before this, but I'm not positive. And it's just maybe they made it cheap or quick or whatever, but it's just not, it's not what you want it to be.
Yeah, it really stinks because it's so such a fun idea. I think they could have tightened it up and it would have been awesome. I think the WarioWare concept, the NES Remix WarioWare-esque concept is great. It's just, it's hard to execute apparently, you know?
Yep. And Neil, I think, reviewed it. Atari
yes.
Mania. He gave it a 6.5, yeah. Which I think. I think
that's fair because I think it shows. Well, go ahead. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you didn't. It was just, I think the Atari games themselves, like with the new playability, even though, like, let's say it still needs to work on that, I think the games are fun, even though it's like not as polished as regular WarioWare, because I shouldn't necessarily expect intelligent systems, let's say, level polish from this, but I was having fun when
That's
I was
funny.
Playing, yeah. But it's everything else that I'm just like, this should be better. This should be better.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And it's one thing if, yeah, it's like I've used the, like when I was talking about Mutant Year Zero, I think is what it's called. I talked about that game. I played it on Switch. I just couldn't put it down. It was so good. But the game like crashed on me consistently all the time, to the point of every move I made, I saved it, and it was so bad. I mean, it was just terrible. And the game, I mean, it was blurry when on like handheld. It was terrible, but I just loved the game. And I made the analogy that it was like eating a delicious steak, but like with like on paper plates with plastic fork and knife, you know? And so like with this, it's like eating like a Whopper, or no, like a, like eating like a, like a McDouble. It's like having a McDouble with with a plastic knife. That's what it's like.
A McDouble, so like, when you're already full.
And you're like, well, why? Like, why would I do? Like, why am I gonna? Why am I doing this? You know, like I don't need to do this. That's kind of how I got. So, if it were to update with responsive controls, solid 7, 7.5. You know. But where it's at, it's just all the sum of its parts. It's just a pass for me, unfortunately, even though I love the logo and the concept.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit of a bummer, sadly.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Well,
so I have a question then, because you were saying, I was thinking about this before you even mentioned it, but what is Atari now? Like, I mean, I know it's been through different iterations over the years, but like, I feel like somewhat recently,
so
I thought they kind of just were shuttered entirely.
Dude, they have a new system that's out.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Atari VCS?
I don't think I know this.
This is the weirdest. You look it up. I don't even want to. I mean, it's the weirdest thing. I think it was like a GameStop exclusive release. And it's like supposed to be like a new machine that can like output in 4K. And it's also like a computer that you can just hook up to a monitor. And it has new game, and this game came out on it, obviously.
Okay.
And it's so weird. And I was like, it was one of those things I was looking at. I was like, is this real? Like, is this like a scam or something? Kind of like that that other thing, that Amico or whatever, and television Amico, which I think is still fascinating in a weird way. Anyway,
so
I'm on Wikipedia right now, figuring out what Atari is.
So I'm looking at the VCS specifically. That thing, it hit the market at, am I looking at this right? There's a $300 version,
yes,
and a $400 version.
Yes.
Who in the world is going to buy that?
I don't even know. It's like the game. I don't even know, man.
And it was partially crowdfunded. That is so weird.
Everything about it is weird. What are you learning, Alex?
Okay. So the history of Atari is obviously super complicated, right? But it and since like the video game crash, I mean, stuff was sold off, stuff was acquired, there was a reverse merger eventually, and right now, after like a dozen of random hands of stuff changing hands, right now it is a public French company, a holding company that is public, called Atari SA. And it's been doing blockchain stuff. And what it had been doing like for a while was it would take like old games, make new versions of them.
Yeah.
And for,
yeah, what
and
are those
then they
called?
Did
like
Recharged.
Yeah. Recharged. Yeah.
And for the 50th anniversary, they're doing a bunch of stuff. And there's two games that are attached to that. One of them is the, this game. And then the other one is this Atari 50, which is, it has some Jaguar and Link stuff. It has a bunch of old Atari games, some arcade stuff, and even like four new games that were made, which is pretty interesting. Like, I'm interested in seeing what that one is about, but it's bizarre. Like the current state of Atari for sure.
So they own Moby Games. Apparently
they acquired it for $1.5 million, which is like, a really good house.
it's so weird. Like,
yeah.
One of those things that
anyway, strange.
Yeah.
What they do. Anyway.
How about we do... Oh, sorry. What were you going to say, Perry?
I was going to come up with some sort of segue into the next thing, but and you started talking.
All right. Well, my thought is, what if we do Josh's quick bite, then your quick bites, then we'll do my two things.
Let's do it. Josh, it's time for some quick bites. Quick bites. Oh. Wow, that was perfect.
In unison. So, yeah, I've been playing Tunic, which just recently finally came to the Switch.
Great game.
And, yeah, I'm having a blast. I guess for anybody who's not familiar, it's very much, I guess, a tribute to, like, the original Zelda. I would say there's a little bit of A Link to the Past in there. And then as far as, like, the difficulty of it, it's I keep hearing it likened to, like, you know, Dark Souls and all that stuff. I've actually never played any of those games, the Dark Souls games, so like I can't make that comparison firsthand, but it gets really hard. This game gets incredibly hard just in terms of the combat, and I'm not even ashamed to admit that I put on the no fail mode after a while because I got tired of being just demolished while I was just trying to explore. So
nerd.
And hey, anyway, it's
think nerds actually would do the baby mode.
No, I was thinking they probably wouldn't, but
cool guy.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, say that one again, please. Anyway, it's just so you play as this little fox guy, and he's sort of a, you know, he's the equivalent of Link, and he's got a green tunic, which you know, they never, at least to this point in the game, I've not seen anything explicitly say that this little character's name is Tunic, but that's what I'm going to call him. But he's a little fox, and he's got a pink bandana that he wears around his neck, and I feel like that's got to be like an allusion to Link's pink hair and A Link to the Past. But it's very sort of cerebral. It's very atmospheric. The music is wonderful, but sort of the idea is that you just kind of, they drop you down and you start, you know, once the game starts, you're immediately kind of running around and exploring. And, you know, you pick up these pieces of what are essentially like game manual. Like it really looks like, you know, the old manuals from like NES.
Like a Famicom.
Yeah, manual. Truly. And, you know, it's pretty much all of this stuff is written in like runes. Like basically you can't decipher or read most of what these things are saying. There's a little bit that is spelled out for you, but most of it you just kind of have to sort of put it together based upon the images and that sort of thing. But it's just, the artwork is beautiful. Everything about this game, as you can tell, they just really poured themselves into it. But it's, you know, it's, I guess in a way it is, there's a lot of puzzle stuff to it, but it's not puzzles in the way that I guess I would normally think of them for a game like this. It's, to me, it's more about just like trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B, but it's like, there are not,
so there's
like
not like
of,
moving block puzzles,
not to the point that I am in this game. Then maybe they show up later, and you know, cause I'm not even sure how far I am along. I've put in, I mean, I think I've probably played this thing for 5 or 6 hours, but
is this a procedurally generated thing?
No.
Okay. Okay.
No, no, this is all very carefully crafted, and I mean, it's
I've heard that, like, it's not really very Zelda-like. It's just kind of aesthetically Zelda-like in a way.
I think this game really loves Zelda. I played it on Game Pass when it came out on Xbox. And I think, while as a game, if you sort of strip it down, it is kind of like Death's Door, where it's like part Zelda, part Souls-like, part top-down, part
Hades,
RPG.
Maybe,
or... No, because it's not a roguelike. It is like a progressive... Mm-mm. No, it's way more old Zelda. And the signature is the manual, where you pick up pages and like it's in a foreign language like that's made for the game, that's very mysterious and gives you like the feeling of like you imported a game from Japan and are trying to figure out how to play it. And it's like you'll see a button combo and you're like, what do I really do with this? And it's like scribbled into the sides. And then you try it And then it's like, oh, this is how I upgrade, or this is how I do this other thing, because the game tells you nothing when you start.
Yeah.
So, truly. But between the manual and the Zelda E gameplay, it really does capture like old school gaming with a walkthrough really beautifully. I think my
I'm looking at it now. I think I was getting this game mixed up with Death's Door.
Nope. That one's more Soulsy. But I think my issue was I didn't play with the no fail mode, but I didn't necessarily love the combat. Like, it did feel a little loosey goosey, but I loved it for other reasons. So it didn't necessarily bother me that much. But it's probably one of my 10 favorites of the year. I think it's real good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks great. Yeah.
It's, wow. It's interesting because I feel like if you sort of, you know, if you catch the eye of one of the enemies or the bad guys, like, they'll follow you a long way. So, like, it's not like, you know, you just go to the next screen and they give up. Like, at a certain point, like, if you, you know, go far enough and wiggle around, like, some staircases and stuff, like, eventually they'll kind of just lay off. But, like, they'll follow you quite a while. And it's, you know, like, they can really just, like, turn into a mob if you're not careful. Like, you'll just, you know. So you're right. The combat, like, it's not like,
it doesn't feel tight.
It doesn't. But, I have found that, like, now that I've got the shield, I feel like I've got a little more, depth, to what I feel like I'm able to do. But, even like turning the no fail mode on, like, even still trying to figure out where to go. And sometimes even
when
trying to,
you can't like fail, you fail.
But like trying to learn how to efficiently take out some of these enemies, like, you know, some of them it's like, okay, you could hit them with your sword, but it might take like a million hits before you're going to actually take them down. You kind of have to learn like what their weakness is. And some of them, like, I don't know how people who aren't playing with that could figure some of these out, you know, without pulling their hair out, because like it's a sort of a, you know, you try and fail to you know, different methods. And anyway, I'm having a blast with it, but I'm not, from this point on, probably not gonna put the regular mode back on. But
right,
yeah, it's the thing that I really like, apart from just the exploration, like, just aesthetically though, it is a very pleasing, like, charming game. And the enemies,
does it run well on the Switch?
Yeah, you know, I don't feel like, the only time that I really notice any sort of issue with the performance is like when you die and you start over, like it spawns you back at where you last saved. I notice, like, it seems like as it's sort of like loading in the different like lighting and stuff, it might take a second for some of it to kind of kick in. I mean, we're talking like maybe 2 seconds, but it's noticeable. It's obvious.
Yeah.
Whereas I haven't seen too much of the like gameplay footage on other systems, but I did notice pretty immediately like that the Switch version is not as crisp. I mean, if you're not comparing them like one next to the other, you probably won't even notice it. But sure. Yeah, it's not as it doesn't look quite as good if you're strictly comparing, but otherwise it's a beautiful game.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Yeah, nice. I'm having a blast.
Giddy nice. Up. Well, my next quick bites are going to be very quick. First up, we got Pilot Wings 64. Okay, so I played like this for 20 minutes. And, you know, I've played the...
I'm done.
I love the 3DS. I love Pilot Wings Resort. Yeah. Love it. That was like my first game I played on 3DS, and it's beautiful. And that was my first exposure. And then I just a few years back on this podcast that we played Pilot Wings, the original one for the Super NES. And now I finally got to play Pilot Wings 64. And it's definitely more Pilot Wings. It's exactly like in between the first and the third ones. I mean, it's just funny. It's like exactly what I thought it would be. Really fun. It runs really well. Apparently, there's an upgraded version. It runs at like 60 frames, and it looks great. Like it looks like a 64 game, but it is a 64 game. So, but you know, I just played through some missions. It's so weird. Like this, Pilotwings games are set up like no other game. Because you start it, and it's like there's these missions that you just have to play the first one, and to get to the next one, you have to nail it like perfectly. And the funny thing is, the mission takes like 30 seconds, and it's like, okay, that was it. Okay, I guess I'll move on to the next one. It's like, oh, you have to get this perfect. You have to land it perfectly, you know. And it's just, it's very interesting, and it definitely feels tech demo-y. Like that's exactly what it feels like as a tech demo. And anyway, you know, I played it for a little bit and I was like, I'm just not feeling this game right now, but like I could see me getting in the mood. But I'm kind of like, you know what, if I'm gonna play Pilotwings, I'm gonna go back to the resort and play it on 3DS. So anyway, that was that. Good game, like definitely cool game. And then just a really quick, I'm not even gonna snap for it, is I've been playing Nier Automata or Automata. I actually hadn't played it at all. I haven't played Switch at all until yesterday, this whole week. I just have been so busy with work and stuff. But I was like, I was definitely like, yeah, I'm probably not going to go back to Nier. Like, but luckily I was just like, you know what? Let's just see if I can get back into it, you know? You know that feeling? It's like, let's just see if I can get back in. I might as well give it a shot. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I'm really enjoying, like, I did dive back into it, and I got to this new area, this desert area, and it was really fun. It looks great. I was playing it handheld. Really relaxed, just kind of fun. Go out and kind of smash some machines. And if you follow the story, if you follow it, it's way better than exploring by yourself. And yeah, having a lot of fun. I'm going to put some more time into it. So, yeah, it runs great, and I would recommend it if anyone's looking for a nice game to play. It's a good port and fun game. And yeah, I guess now, but the thing is Mario and Rabbids come out this week?
This
is
Friday,
that right?
Yep,
right?
That'll be what the...
And so we'll talk about that on poll time.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you're liking Nier. I hope you stick with it, because I think around the 10-hour mark, if you can make it that far, like I think that's when you'll really know.
Hey,
if you're,
you told me
the
6-hour mark. I'm just kidding.
It's somewhere between 6 and 10. I guess that's the pace.
I'll just make this joke now: is that I think I might not pick up Mario and Rabbids, and then I'll beat Nier, and then by the time I beat Nier, Mario and Rabbids will be half off.
Well,
are you really gonna wait?
That was just my joke.
Okay, I was going
to
say.
Supposed to laugh at it, but no. Thanks.
That is kind of what I'm doing, though. Yeah. because, we'll get into it poll time.
Yeah,
because some of these games are related. One of these games is related to it. And
okay.
We'll segue nicely. But the first one I'm going to talk about is Scorn.
I'm gonna look up a trailer for this because I still have no idea what this game is.
I just know that Eduardo was playing it, but that's all I know. It's messed up. I played it and I was like, I'm out.
it's weird. It's definitely the weirdest game I've played in some time, and it's definitely like a type of game that's very tailored.
What are you playing this on?
Xbox Series X. It's it is a Game Pass Day One. So this is like a Kickstarter that came out in like 2014, 2016 or something. It failed.
Oh, wow.
And then like they did another one that did succeed, I think. So this one had a very long path. And the premise here is that it is very inspired by H.R. Giger, the guy who designed the Xenomorphs and Aliens, where it's very like biomechanical, alien horror type, mysterious, messed amazing. Up vibes. That's sort of the premise. So Scorn has no dialogue to speak of in the game. And in fact, the credits are a separate menu option. After I beat the game, like, it just cut back to the main screen, which I thought was kind of cool.
Oh, so but you beat this game?
I did. I beat it in 2 days, Friday and Saturday. It was 6 hours long, and I was digging it.
Man, I'm looking at a gameplay trailer. It looks so incredible.
Yeah, so it is an atmospheric first-person horror adventure puzzle game, which the game describes itself as being set in a nightmarish universe of odd forms and somber tapestry. The game starts, you are this, like, gross, emaciated humanoid, like, that's vaguely human but has a bunch of messed up stuff going on. You, like, wake up in this, like, very hellish sort of environment, and basically based on instinct you're just moving forward, and you end up in these various biomes and, let's say, areas that are from this civilization that seems long extinct, and you are solving environmental puzzles. Like, there's five-ish chapters, five acts maybe, and each one has its own puzzle box and area that looks different and has different puzzles you're trying to solve, and it's all, like, no explanation. It doesn't even have buttons pop up. It just has, like, symbols for buttons, so you kind of have to, like, figure a lot out yourself, which I like. And it is some obtuse puzzles for sure. Like, you're trying to figure out how to get through the area. Like, you're trying to see, okay, there's this train track. Where does this train track go? Okay, so there's these eggs. How do I loosen an egg to get it here? To figure out how to do this, to do this, to do this, to open up this door. And that's how each of the chapters go. And it's first person. And along the way, it is just body horror, body horror, body horror. No jump scares, which I always like when a horror game sort of respects itself enough to not do jump scares, and it totally relies on the atmosphere. And the atmosphere is absurd. Like, the trailer you're seeing and the vibe of the screenshots is very true to the game. Like, it is haunting and mysterious, and it feels like you're in hell, and games do not capture it this way, which is very extremely impressive. It definitely isn't as scary as I'd like it to be up front. Like, it's kind of wires, bones, kind of looks like Alien, and then later on you sort of get some really cool stuff.
I'm watching it. It doesn't seem hellish. It seems more like alien-ish.
Well, not like fire, but it's like this hopeless, bleak, lonely, dying world with no hope. Like, it is a hopeless, a bleak experience.
Alex Wonderland is what you're trying to say.
And the thing is, I think for someone who's not interested in this kind of thing, like, if you don't want to engage with art that, like, is that lonely and creepy and horrific, and weird, and, like, makes you feel a little disturbed but in, like, an effective way, obviously, like, don't play this. Like, it's not for you. And also, if you can't, like, there are a lot of obtuse puzzles here that remind me of old PC adventure games. Like, I looked up stuff in, like, guides, like, a few times, and I was fine doing that. Like, I think that's also something to know. And the reviews were very mixed on this, for the reason that it's, like, obtuse puzzles and kind of slow.
Yeah, but can for you, me, like,
yeah.
Can you, like Lemonade posted something, right, that was like, someone's like, I've never uninstalled a game so quickly, or, you know. And can you tell me, like, why are people, like, hate, like, why would someone hate this or not like it?
I think it's boring to some people. I think, well, two reasons. One, it is disgusting. Like, you're looking, it is gross. And
like,
it,
what?
It,
like, does, what kind it, of stuff is gross? Like, what do you mean?
I mean, like, pulling, like, there's a parasite that jumps on your back early on, and it just claws into your torso regularly.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like, it's a lot of like, you stick your hands into things and then they get stabbed. There is some stuff involving like, there's stuff you do to yourself and let's say a few other living creatures in your environment that does not feel good, but is, let's say it is, it's sort of, the game goes for it. It's trying to do a very specific thing and it is doing it very well, but that thing will probably make a lot of people uncomfortable and feel icky. And that's one thing.
I just want to say this. Like, from what you were telling me before, what Estuardo said, it's funny because I'm just like, I had such a different image in my head when, like, yeah. What I'm looking at now, like, is like what I could have seen as like Metroid Prime 4 could have had this aesthetic of like what's going on. So it's like, it's funny that like it doesn't see, I mean, I know I'm watching a walkthrough right now and I'm just looking at stuff. But anyway, it's just kind of interesting to me. Like, I know I'm not seeing the worst of the worst ever, but I'm sure there's more.
Right. And because this is a kid-friendly show, I kind of have to talk around stuff too. But I will say the other reason, and like another, is that like it's obtuse puzzles. It is slow lumbering around.
I'm watching this hilarious puzzle right now of like them moving around this thing on this.
Is it
ladder.
Like on a track?
Yeah, it looks.
Yeah,
really
no, that's the first puzzle.
Really
it's a
funny.
Bad. It's a bad introduction to the game.
It's hilarious.
I used to walk through for that puzzle.
So is this like a really disgusting version of Myst?
Kind of. It definitely has that vibe. It reminds me a lot of like old weird PC adventure games like Drowned God. Cyber Dreams is a studio that made a lot of these where it's like obtuse puzzles that don't always make complete sense or aren't very intuitive. Kind of frustrating, but has like a weird vibe that sort of sticks to you and games don't really capture anymore. It feels like, I mean, I'm a baby. I don't really have the right to say anymore, but it does feel like it is going for an era of adventure game that doesn't usually get captured so much anymore. But The Witness, Myst, great comparison for the type of gameplay.
So this isn't like a first person shooter.
No, there
like
are,
it has
there,
that, but like it's
there's
not.
A little combat, but it is not about that. And yeah. The combat's not great. It is like, cause you are lumbering around during the combat too.
Gotcha.
So it's this weird thing. It's a weird thing where if you ask me to pick apart a lot of the actual video game things you're doing, I'm like, yeah, it's not great here. It's not great here. I don't know. But the actual vibe.
It's eclectic with this gross, like skin on top of it or something.
It's not for most people, but it is very much for me. And I think if you look at this and you think maybe it's for you, it's on Game Pass. Like it's on Xbox, like maybe PC, but at least Xbox Game Pass. Like, yeah, check it out. It's free, I guess.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yep. And then the thing I'm going to talk about won't be a quick bite, but it'll be quick. I think is A Plague Tale
Make
Innocence.
It a quick bite.
And A Plague Tale Requiem, which came out today. Played A Plague Tale Innocence on PlayStation 5 because it was a PS Plus game, and then A Plague Tale Requiem, which is the new one, came out on Game Pass today as of this recording, so Tuesday. So it's out now. I had heard a lot of about these games. I had heard they were really good, but I had no idea what they are. And a lot of like European adventure games like aren't for me when I try them, so it never entered my sort of vision, but it's really cool. It's like The Last of Us or God of War. Like it's very much people going on a journey. This takes this takes place in the 14th century, like France during the Black Plague. It is historically about the Black Plague, but it is also telling its own story, and there's supernatural elements, so it's like it sort of blends history and sort of fiction, supernatural fiction. Really great drama between the brother, Hugo, who has this sort of like evil curse that lets him control rats eventually. And then the main character you're playing as, Amicia, who is sort of, she's sort of the Joel in the, or the Kratos. Like, she's the one you're playing as. It's like some stealth. It is some action. It is a completely linear, fully cinematic game. Innocence
looks unbelievably good.
Yes. It's on, both of them are on Switch's cloud games, but I mean, obviously I don't vouch for cloud on Switch.
Never. So never.
I would recommend playing on new consoles. Plague Tale Innocence goes on sale all the time because it's like 2 or 3 years old. It's made by the Flight Simulator, the new Microsoft Flight Simulator studio, Asobo. Really good story, really good character drama. And I think what separates this from being boring, because it is like a linear action stealth thing, is that it really doesn't shy away from the plague. Like, you know how like a lot of like PG-13 or rated R games that involve violence, like it's like, it flanderizes violence in a sense, because it's like, yeah, I know people are dying all the time, but I don't really care. Like, I'm not really attached to what's going on. This really this has a lot of emotional intelligence and is like, it's showing like piles of bodies in villages. It is showing the effects of illness on people.
So it's totally up Alex's alley.
I like the gruesome, what can I say? But it's also, it's not so like macabre to be like this Scorn. Like, it stops like at mass market appeal, but it has the emotional intelligence to sort of pay some attention to how this actually affects people, and some really, really gruesome set pieces. And it's a great story. It's about 12.
Is it as gruesome as Castlevania hours. Symphony of the Night?
Probably more so, although I'm sure Symphony of the Night's a better
game. Do you see people impaled?
Yeah, plenty.
You do?
I mean, yeah, you're seeing people, you're seeing piles and piles of bodies all the time, of animals. There's a lot of gross set pieces, which are done in the service of this sort of story during the plague. Yeah. And anyways, it was 12 hours. I fully recommend it if you want like a nice, easy breezy story game. Like, it's really well done. And I played 2 or 3 hours of Requiem, which came out today. Played like a little before work, a little after work. And it is like, it is cinematic next gen. Like, it is shocking how good it looks.
It makes me sick, like, watching this gameplay. I'm watching a walkthrough. Just unbelievable. Yeah. Like,
what do you mean sick? Like, nice?
Yeah. Like, it just makes me hurt the work that went into this.
Oh, Requiem specifically or Innocence?
Requiem is what I'm looking at.
Yeah. So it looks so nice that it is actually, I have a Series X. It can only run at 30 frames a second on new consoles at like 4K or 1440p or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it is pushing the hardware.
I'm watching PC, I guess, because it's 60, what I'm watching. I think it looks like it's 60. Maybe not.
But it feels, it's not like Gotham Knights where it's 30 frames per second for what feels like no reason on new consoles because it doesn't look that good. This is, Requiem is a full on next gen game. And like, it sort of advances the sort of gameplay and makes it like a lot easier to play. The story, like the investment I had in the story from the first game, is definitely like, there's better storytelling and gameplay here. It seems like it's really good. And I think the first game was like $40 when it launched or so, and this is 60, and it definitely feels like they're going for a bigger budget sequel. So really good games. Amazing. So I recommend.
So is there combat in this game?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a lot of like, you know, there's a lot of, it's a lot of walking. It's a lot of like running sequence. You don't have a gun, but you do have like a sling and you throw rocks at people.
I'm walking here.
It's a lot of like Hitman, Last of Us, crawling in grass, sneaking around enemies. Enemy has an alert signal, but you do kill them. It's like, it's stealth action, you know?
Yep. I think you hit it. I just like Last of Us, you know, I think it's,
Yep. Cool. So there we go.
Very cool.
And all nice. Right. And I think we'll still have like a just about an hour show because we got poll time, right?
That's right. Poll time.
Poll results time.
Poll results time.
Now, Joshua, I know you don't play very many video games, but where are you on Mario plus Rabbids 1? Did you play it? Did you like it? Did you dislike it?
I got pretty close to the end, and now I can't recall why I didn't finish it. I think, or did I finish it? I know that I didn't play the Donkey Kong stuff, but I actually might have finished the main game now that I think about it.
Did you like it?
Yeah, liked it a lot.
You can ask me.
Well, I know you really love it.
Cares.
We talked about it before. We know each other likes it.
Well, let's have all of our Mario and Rabbids stories. Because when it came out, I did not get it because I was so put off by Rabbids, which is funny, right? Because it's like it makes sense. I mean, that's how like I was like, ugh, so weird, and I didn't understand it. And now I've come to understand the Rabbids and. Casey got it for me that Christmas because I didn't get it, and I played it then. Loved it, beat it, couldn't stop it, and I couldn't stop beat it. And then I just played through the Donkey Kong Adventure last year, which I talked about on the show, and I loved it to get prepared for this game. Okay, Alex, what's your Mario plus Rabbids story?
I bought it for $10 or $15 at some point, not the gold, but the original. And I remember it was the original because when I wanted the Donkey Kong DLC, the DLC by itself didn't go on sale for a long time.
Yes.
After.
And I got the gold version for $15 on the eShop, even though I already had the game, but I was like, I'll get the full game digitally. I might play through it again.
Excellent game. Loved it, of course.
Not perfect. I think it had a little... I would just say the one thing, it's like it's a really cool XCOM game, but...
Yep.
But I feel like some of the randomness was a little bit too... Like, stuff bouncing and stuff was a little janky that, like, made it a little annoying to, like, strategize. But, like, other than that, like, incredibly good.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like the Rabbids and Mario and the Mushroom King, all that stuff meshed far better than I expected it to.
It really did. Yeah.
Because I was kind of in the same boat. Because, I mean, really, did the Rabbids come before the Minions and...
Whatchamacallit? I think so.
So they're like the original Minions.
I guess, Rayman Raving Rabbids, right? Was that came out on the Wii. I think that was the first...
Right, was the movie. They're kind of annoying, but I feel like they sort of toned them down a little bit. Maybe that's why it seems better.
And they're hilarious.
They are very funny.
Truly super funny.
One of the funniest self-referential, but not too like Marvel-y, some really excellent writing all around, which brings me to this week's poll time question, which is hype check on Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope. Are you getting it? And if so, when? And before we have Josh tell us what the folks said, I want to go around and ask what your answers to this are. And I'm going to go first. I am going to buy it soon, but I'm enjoying Plague Tale Requiem, which is sort of the connective tissue I was going to use as a segue. And it's like, here's like a 16, 17 hour game. So I think I'm going to play this maybe like sometime next week. I'll buy it and maybe it'll be on sale for $55.50. Like, and Perry, you were joking about like waiting for it to drop to Bargain Basement, but I actually didn't recognize that as a joke because how much of the audience of the original Mario plus Rabbids discovered that game when it was like $10, $15.
I know, dude. It's honestly, and I would say I'm in the same boat as you, dude. Like, I'm so stoked for this game. And if it was a Nintendo game, like, which they must be publishing it, right?
I think the Mario plus Sonics are published by Sega. It's weird.
That is weird, isn't it? Anyway, the fact of the matter is that I am just, I know that this game is going to be discounted like so soon. So it's kind of annoying because I hate when I buy a game and it's discounted half off, you know, like a couple months later. It's just hard for me. And even though I really, really want to play it, I still don't like that. Anyway, so I'm at the buying it sometime soonish as well.
That was me.
With the caveat that I probably will buy it from day one.
I think I'll buy it week two, probably.
Depends on like how much week. Near automata I've done.
Yeah, I'm expecting that on Friday, maybe somewhere around like noon or 1 o'clock, I'm going to get a text that says, yeah, I went ahead and bought it.
You know what? You know what's interesting, though, is that this game definitely screams physical buy for Perry. And I could see a lot of times, well, first of all, like Walmart might have it for $50. And also, I could see a good old Facebook marketplace, someone selling it for $45, like the day of or day after. So that'd be a good way to do it too.
Yeah.
Where are you standing, Josh?
I think that I was initially going to say day one, and then I was flip-flopping back to sometime soon. I'm kind of in the middle. I'm probably just going to wind up buying it day one. I need to... so hard to say.
Isn't it? It's hard.
I don't think that I have the patience to wait for a price drop. Like, I think... Because, like, I don't know. The way I look at that stuff is like, oh, everybody's counting on it. Well, now it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm probably getting a day one. But because it's especially now that I'm seeing how well it's being received by
the I know, nines crew. And tens. I mean, yeah, nines and tens across the board, basically.
Truly. So, like, I think I'm probably going to go day one.
There we go. Nothing wrong with that.
The reviews are good. It's I think it's like an 86. I think Michael Jordan Rudek gave it like a 9.95 or something.
I think it was a 9.
Nine. You're right. And it seems like the overall opinion is like it's a better like version of the first one. They definitely learned a lot of lessons.
Which is all I wanted.
Yep. Yeah. There is some take that it's like, this kind of feels like this was a Switch Pro game that got moved. Like there's a lot of load times and it sort of is like a, that's sort of the vibe that people were getting. But overall, it seems like a really good sequel. So I'm excited to get it.
The worlds look so cool. So good.
I was watching Andre Seegers play Game Explain Guy. Play live stream earlier, and at one point he I guess somebody in the chat maybe asked him a question, but he said no, like if you didn't like the first one, you're not gonna like this one because it's just pretty much more of the same, but like more so. Like it's
is that true? See, that really makes me very happy because I was worried that they might have strained a little too far and maybe changed the dynamic of it a little too much. I'm really happy that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how far into it. I don't know if he's reviewed it or if I don't know how much he's played with it. But yeah, he was saying that it's like it's more of the same, but better, more of the same.
Perfect. Thank you. And I'm excited.
Day
I'm
one
truly
confirmed.
I'm truly excited about the Rayman DLC. To be honest, I think that's really fun to have Rayman teaming up with Mario.
Oh, I didn't know really about cool. this.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I was thinking about it.
It'll be Rayman.
I wonder if they'll do Wario in some way.
You know, he gets neglected so much. I would love it if they brought him in.
Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, they did Donkey Kong. I could see doing a Wario pack. Or maybe there's always the Mario plus Rabbids, you know, 3 happening, you know, which could have Wario in it. Which just makes me... A Wario Rabbid just needs to happen. I can't believe I'm saying it. Look at me. I can't believe I'm saying it. But yeah. Okay, so let's go through these responses. Yeah. So what did the Peach think?
So let's see here. So the Talk Nintendo Podcast Twitter account, Balix asked, hype check on Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope. Are you getting it? And if so, when? And with our first, we're just going to go through
fourth
top
place.
And bottom, right?
Let's do fourth place.
All right. So fourth place with 8% is
What were the four options?
Okay.
Good idea.
There we go. So our options are getting it ASAP / day one. Option two is buying sometime soon-ish. Option three is we'll get it eventually. And option four is no plans to buy it. And in fourth place, coming in dead last is with 8%, is buying sometime soon-ish. Coming in third place is getting it ASAP day one. So Probably not as big of a number as they were hoping for.
18.8, right?
Did you say that? Okay. So almost 19%. Coming in third with 28.6% is no plans to buy it. And the with almost 50%, the top answer was we'll get it eventually.
Yep.
So,
yeah, 72% of people are getting this game eventually to ASAP day one.
Yeah. That's it looks like a lot of people are going to be waiting for the price drop. But see, what if the price drop never comes?
It's impossible. I mean, name any Ubisoft game that
I know, but I wonder how much say up. Nintendo has in that because
I don't
know,
think they
have
any
like
say.
To do it.
I'm just saying.
But I wonder,
dude. Isn't that game It's been on sale for $7.99.
I know, but I wonder if they if they changed any of that with this agreement for the second game. I don't know. I just feel like Nintendo probably doesn't love that.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they do love it, and I think they think that game sold. I mean, I've bought it twice, so I guess. I mean, I guess Casey bought it for me, but then I bought another one. So,
and you know,
maybe
Casey
it's
didn't
a
buy
really
it full
good
price.
Idea. Yeah, it's true. He probably got it for a good 30.
He wouldn't spend that much on me.
It's hard to say how much it'll drop. I do remember though that in 2020, I think it was when the new PlayStation and Xbox came out. Immortals Fenyx Rising came out on like December 5th or something, and then I remember getting it from GameStop on like a Christmas sale for like $30 on PS5.
Yes,
later that month. And that game's amazing, by the way. I love it. I love it like almost as much as I love Breath of the Wild. Oh
wow.
Yeah, big fan of Fenyx Rising.
Wow.
Is this controversial?
It's not controversial. It's just idiotic. I just wanted to say something funny. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
No, it's great. It's not like it's as moody and obviously it's not a Zelda game. But it is a really great take on Breath of the Wild, and it's got like a lot of light God of War, Greek historical stuff.
I do like the Greek. Just in general, I like the Greek. Hey, wait a second. That's why you like it so much, because you're Greek.
well-designed puzzles, and like the combat feels great. Like, I would probably play it on a new console over the Switch, but I love that game. And
I think they're making a sequel.
That's what people are saying. I think that's rumored. I actually, stupid thing I did. I loved the game so much, I bought the season pass the night I bought it at like full price. And then never played the DLC that came with it.
Never. Wow.
I don't feel bad about paying full price if I really love it, but I just never played the DLC.
Right. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our show this week.
Versus eShop Roundup.
Dude, let's do that next week. Actually, no, next week is a special week. Next week we're having TYP on, and it's our annual Talk Nintendo podcast cross radio trivia, which is going to be awesome because it's Halloween, baby. That's what we do. We get Luigi himself to come onto the show to do Luigi's Mansion tunes. I always put Luigi's Mansion 2 in there.
Luigi's voice. TYP has an excellent Luigi.
Yeah, TYP is Charles Martinet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he charges us $4,000. So don't boycott next episode, please. It's agreed. So, and before we give our sign-offs, Josh, thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yep, thanks for replacing Casey for... Thanks for
Place, Casey, anytime.
Yeah. Casey had a headache this week. He wasn't feeling too good. So I said, good, because I always get a headache when you come on to the show. So,
get me my BC headache powder.
Anyway, you can find Talk Nintendo Podcast at Talk Nintendo Pod. That's Talk Nintendo
P.
Oh.
D. And you can find, what else can you do? Oh, you can send us an email at tnpmailbag@gmail.com. That's tnpmailbag@gmail.com. And you can support Nintendo World Report over at patreon.com/NWR. That's patreon.com/
Nintendo World.
Yeah.
No, NWR, that's actually. Okay. I'll never forget the time. Was it me, you? Was it me, Alex, and Neil? Was that when we were waiting for Neil to say something?
Oh, yes.
And we waited like 30 seconds. But he wasn't there, and like he was like attending to like his kids or something. Was that?
That was not that long
ago.
I had to
have been Alex,
right? I'm pretty
sure
that was it. No, yeah, this was weeks ago.
Yeah. That was so funny. Man, that was funny. Like, we just waited and waited and waited. Anyway, that's the best.
Didn't happen this time. Thanks a lot.
Yes, we'll see you next week on the Talk to the Podcast, episode 320, baby. Blaze it. Peace.
I'm a witch.